this Friday. And other than that, I'd say there's still plenty of bagels and donuts and coffee. It's good coffee. It's Starbucks coffee. The Pike place is medium roast, and the Komodo Dragon is dark roast, so if you prefer one or the other. But feel free to get up, and you know, it's fairly informal. There are handouts here front, so if you have to grab those, you can grab those too. And I imagine we'll have some people walk in here throughout the morning.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Irene Wong. Before starting the voting structure section, did everyone get the handout from here?
Protein GB3 has 56 amino acids.
And the top one represents how the each residue is corresponding to the structural protein. Like you can see from the residue 2 to residue 8, there is a big strand formed for those residues. The same thing for this one. And this is the section of the amino acid who is involved in the arc helix structure. So from the top figure, we can figure out how each residue is involved in the structure of protein. That is an overview of the protein structure. And like I said, protein is created by amino acids. So let's start with amino acids. There are 20 amino acids in human body, and for all the amino acid structure, they share this classic pattern for their structures. So from here you can see all the amino acids have a central carbon, and this carbon is connected with one NH2 group, which is called amino group, and it's also connected with a COOH group, carboxyl group. And also the central carbon is connected with hydrogen. So I can tell you all the amino acids have a central carbon, and the central carbon is connected with these three groups. And each amino acid has its specific R group, which is called side chain group in the amino acid. So based on the side chain group, those 20 amino acids could be divided into three subgroups. So now let's move to the first nonpolar amino acid. If you take a look at the structure of each amino acid on this slide, you can see almost all amino acids have a central carbon, and the carbon is connected with the NH2, which is at the left side, and the COOH group at the right side, and as well as the hydrogen. And on the top of each structure, you can see they have their specific side chain groups. And in the group of nonpolar amino acids, their side chain groups are consisted with the carbon and hydrogen. So that's why they are relatively nonpolar. And there is an exception for this structure, proline. So if you look at the structure of this proline, you can find out this is the central carbon, and this is the carboxyl group and the MF group. So by the side chain of this amino acid is also connected with the MF group. So this common structure for amino acid has an exception for proline structure. So this one is a little bit different with others. So this is nonpolar amino acid. And I want to mention this part. So the ionization of the NH2 group and the COOH are incorrect. Because in this section we always talk about the structure or the chemistry of the amino acid or protein at neutral pH. So if you know the pKa of NH2 and the COOH, you may find the pKa of NH2 is around 9, and the pKa of COOH is around 2. So what does it mean? Let's think about the pKa of COOH group, which is around 2. it means when the pH is lower than pKa, so when pH is lower than 2, the COOH group could be protonated, which is said in COOH state. But when the pH is higher than its pKa, higher than 2, the proton could be dissociated from the COOH group. So it always it should be stayed in COO connected state. So same thing for NH2. So it means at neutral pH, the correct ionization of COOH should be COO negative, and the correct ionization of NH2 group should be NH3 plus. That makes sense. Okay, so this is the nonpolar amino acid, and I also want to talk about how this nonpolar amino acid could be involved in the protein structure. Because these amino acids only have carbon, hydrogen in their side chains, so these groups are relatively hydrophobic amino acids. So let's assume the protein is made in water. So this nonpolar, this hydrophobic amino acid might be favorably stayed inside of the protein structure. So it means they don't have access to the aqueous solution. So this is a hydrophobic amino acid. And the second group is the polar amino acid. Let's take a look at the side chain of this second group amino acid. You may find out most of the side chain have nitrogen or oxygen in their structure. So I'm not sure whether you are familiar with the hydrogen bond. The hydrogen bond is meaning when the hydrogen is connected with the atom of nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, it can form hydrogen bond with other oxygen, fluorine, or nitrogen atoms. So you may notice that this hydrogen, this one, is a very good hydrogen bond donator to form hydrogen bond with other oxygen or nitrogen atoms. So that's why we say this polar amino acid may form hydrogen bond in the protein structures. And I can also introduce the amino acid of cysteine. So this one has a side group SH. So the SH group is easily to form disulfide bond with another cysteine, so which is in the state of so one amino acid. Can form a disulfide bond with another amino acid. So that is a common characteristic of the cysteine. And imidazole. So for this residue, for this amino acid, you can see it has a nitrogen in the ring. For some protein, their functions are dependent on a metal center in the protein structure. So how the metal can interact with the protein structure? So mostly those metals like iron or copper, cobalt, could be coordinated with the nitrogen in histidine amino acid. So this residue is always appeared in the metal protein, in the metal center. These two, tryptophan and the tyrosine, these two residues have a benzene ring here. So the benzene ring structure always has the UV absorbers at 280 nanometer. That means at 280 nanometer, if the protein has tryptophan or tyrosine in the structure, this can show UV absorbers at 280 nanometer. So that provides a way to quantify the protein by measuring the UV absorbers. Okay, so these are the polar amino acids. The last group is the analyzable amino acids. So the section of the analyzable amino acid is containing carboxyl group for the negatively charged amino acid, and the positively charged amino acid always has the NH2 group. When I talk about the ionization of the NH2 and COOH2, I introduce the pKa. So all these ionizable amino acids have their specific pKa for their segments. So like the carboxyl group of aspartic has pKa around 3.9, means at neutral pH. This group is always in deprotonated state. That's why this amino acid is charged negatively. Similar for these three residues. Like this one, its pKa is around 12.5. So at neutral pH, the NH2 group is in the state of NH3, the proton-making state. And that's the reason why it has positive charge. We also call these amino acids as hydrophilic residues because they all have the ionizable residues. So opposite to the nonpolar hydrophobic amino acids, these hydrophilic acids prefer to stay inside of the protein. On the surface of protein structure because they are relatively hydrophilic and they prefer to stay in the aqueous solution. So always these ionizable residues stay on the surface of protein structure which are exposed to the water solution. And on the next slide, I'm going to show this electrostatic surface of the protein structure. This structure is created in the software of PIMOL. So the red region represents the negatively charged region, and the blue is the positive region. So if I show the residues on this structure, you may find out some positive residues are staying in this region. That's why it gives a positive surface charge of this protein. And similarly, some negative residues are staying in this region, which results in this negative surface charge of this protein structure. So do you have any questions for the amino acid for protein structure?
So is this kind of like a van der Waals? What's the difference between this and a van der Waals surface?
This is representing the electrostatic surface. How much net charge is on the surface of this protein. So it's different in reaction with the Van't Hoff. The Van't Hoff is did I answer your question?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Now we finished introducing the amino acid. And next, let's see how the amino acid could be So we can take a look. The first amino acid. So, and this is the second amino acid. The first one contributes is own carboxyl group, and the second one use the amide group. So the carboxyl group is one oxygen, one hydroxyl group, OH. The second residue can lose one proton, so which is formed water released from this system. And in that way, the carboxyl group CO, this part, could be connected with the NH part of the second amino acid. The structure on your handout is correct, but this one is wrong. So you may notice, because the first amino acid contributes is carboxyl group, and the second residue is supposed to contribute is NH group. So actually for this one, we need to switch the NH and the CO position. So actually the peptide bond is formed between the CO and the NH, which looks like this one. And after forming the first peptide bond, the second amino acid could use the carboxyl group to form peptide bond with the third amino acid. So in that way, each amino acid could be connected together to form a chain. So this is the representative structure of the peptide bond. So on this one, you may notice the red bond represents the peptide bond. So from this one, you can figure out how many amino acids are involved in this peptide. So we can take a look at the structure from the first one. The first amino acid, NH group, R for carbon, and the carboxyl group. So this is the first amino acid. This is the second one. So there are three peptide bonds, means there are four amino acids involved in this peptide chain. And each amino acid contributes its own amide nitrogen, R for carbon, and the carboxyl carbon into the peptide chain. So actually the peptide chain is a repetition of these three atoms. So you can find out that. This part, which is in the dashed box, represents the backbone chain. And the R represents the side chain of each amino acid. But in here, it is just shown as R. This is another way to show the backbone chain. So on this one, the different color of sphere represents the different items. So for this slide, I want to introduce the direction of the peptide. So normally, we can still look at this one. So normally, we have the NH2 group at the left side as the N-terminal of peptide. And the peptide is always ended with the carboxyl group, which is a C-terminal. So if you look at the protein structure, it should be always shown in this way, starting from NH group, ended with carboxyl group. And because we define this is the direction of the peptide or protein, so we can see this one is the first residue, and this is the last residue in this structure. And the atom names describe the position in the backbone chain, so which means we always call the nitrogen, this amide nitrogen. And this is the R for carbon, means it is the central carbon. And this is the carboxyl carbon. So for this hydrogen, because it's connected with the alpha carbon, so we always call this one as the alpha hydrogen. And these two hydrogen are connected with the amide nitrogen, so we call these two as amide hydrogen. So that means how we can know which atom is in the backbone chain or in the protein. The side chains are added to the backbone, so just like I said, this is the backbone chain, and the side chain is just added to each amino acid part of carbon. So we have a break, 4 minutes, 5 minute break, and let's continue to the local structural attack.
Thank you.
Interaction between in these local structures. So, like I said previously, hydrogen bond is formed between the hydrogen, which is connected with the oxygen, nitrogen, or fluorine, and other oxygen, nitrogen atoms. So now we can take a look at the chemistry of the peptide. So this is the N atom. NH group. This is the CO group. So this hydrogen is connected with a nitrogen atom. And it means this hydrogen can form a hydrogen bond with another oxygen atom. So actually in the protein structure, the amide group and the carboxyl group are is a very good pair for the hydrogen bond structure. And we also know in the peptide chain there are lots of NH2 groups, COOH groups. So theoretically, there are lots of types of the hydrogen bond could be formed between NH and the CO group. So let's take a look at the red one, H2. So the first one, so we can, so this is one amino acid, right? Alpha carbon and the NH2 group, the NH group and the CO group. So this amino acid is own NH can form the hydrogen bond with its own CO group. So this is the first type of hydrogen bond. And this amino acid CO group can also form the hydrogen bond with the next amino acid NH group. So this is the second type of hydrogen bond. But actually, these two kinds of hydrogen bond are not possible in the liquid state. You can think about because these two groups are close to each other, and if the formation of the hydrogen bond may apply too much strain on the structure, so that's why these two types of hydrogen bond are not observed in the natural protein structure. And this is the third type of hydrogen bond. So this hydrogen bond includes two amino acids. can see how many. So include three peptides. So this is the first blood-based carboxyl group, and it has formed the hydrogen bond with the third amino acid, NH group. So this is the the third type of hydrogen bond, and the formation of this hydrogen bond can form a term which is called gamma term. So this is very rare in the macrostructure, but it's possible because so in this situation, this hydrogen bond includes three amino acids. So and the two amino acids involved into the hydrogen bond is relatively far away from each other. So this is possible, but it's rare. And there's another type hydrogen bond which is formed between the first residues NH, first residues CO group and the fourth amino acid NH group. So the turn is formed by this hydrogen bond is called beta turn. So it's relatively popular observed in the protein structure. Okay, now I can talk about the most frequently observed hydrogen bond in protein structure. So in this one, the hydrogen bond includes five residues, four peptide bonds. So you can take a look at this one. This residue, CO group, forms a hydrogen bond with the fifth amino acid NH group. So the thing, another thing for this type of hydrogen bond is this one could be repeated. So that this is the first one, and the second residue can form another hydrogen bond. The third residue has formed hydrogen bond. So in this way, there is a repetition of the hydrogen bond, and this hydrogen bond can result in a arc return. I think in your handout is the gamma term, so it should be with the arc return. And this is the most frequently observed hydrogen bond in the protein structure. And if the alpha turn is repeatedly formed along the peptide chain, you can imagine there will be a helix structure in the peptide, because each turn is formed one by one. So can you imagine that structure? I will show you the a structure later. So the alpha turn can form the alpha helix structure.
What were those angles?
The five sign is the dihedral angles in the protein structure. And I will show you how the dihedral angle looks like in the protein structure. But because the peptide, the amino acid, is forming the alpha turn, so in the structure of alpha turn, the phi side angle is perpendicular in these two angles. So I will show you what it means later. So this is the this structure looks like a chain of peptide, and now we know the hydrogen bond formed between ZO group and NH group can form lots of alpha turn in along this peptide chain. So because of those local structure, the chain of peptide should be look like this one. And if I open the helix structure in the software of PIMO, you can see clearly how the ARP helix look like. Okay, so this is the structure of ARP helix, and the dashed line represents the hydrogen bond formed between NH and the CO group. So you can take a look how this structure looks like. So you can see this structure contains a couple of alpha turns, because the alpha turn is formed continuously, and that's why finally it forms this ARP helix structure. So in the previous slide, I talked about the hydrogen bond is formed between the NH and the CO groups in the backbone chain. So it means as long as the hydrogen bond is possibly formed in this particular pattern, and the helix structure would be elongated ever, right? But why in the normal protein structure we only observe a particular distance of the ARP helix rather than a very long ARP helix structure? Because as long as the hydrogen bond cannot be as long as the amino acid cannot satisfy this kind of hydrogen bond, the alpha helix structure will be N. That means in the nitrile protein structure, at the end of alpha helix structure, the hydrogen bond is not formed because of some particular reason, like if some residue has a big side chain group, or like the residue of proline, those residues are not always satisfied with the alpha turn hydrogen bond. So that's why the alpha helix could be at some particular position.
Okay.
So that is the alpha helix structure formed by the local hydrogen bond. And the next. Okay, so this is another type of structure formed by the hydrogen bond.
The alpha helix is the hydrogen bond formed between maybe four or five residues. And in this kind of hydrogen bond, the hydrogen bond is also formed between the NH group and the CO group. But the difference is this hydrogen bond is formed between distant residues. So we can think about this peptide chain is started from here, the N terminal. And
I can draw this structure like this one. Okay, so the peptide goes along this way, and
when it goes for here, it still can form some maybe loop. It's a bad drawing, but so you can imagine the peptide goes along this way. But in this region, maybe there is no perfect hydrogen bond is formed. But there, so instead of forming a hydrogen bond, there is a chain of peptide. And when the peptide goes from here, this part of peptide can form the hydrogen bond with this part. So that's what I would say. This kind of hydrogen bond is created by the relatively distant residues, because this part of residues are now closely connected with this part. So you can see the dashed line represents the hydrogen bond formed between these two parts. And this structure is always called as beta sheet. So, and each peptide involved in the beta sheet structure is called beta strand. And actually there are two kinds of beta sheets, beta strands. So in this one you can see the two chains involved in the beta sheet are always from N-terminal to C-terminal. Same thing for the top one, N to C. So these two chains are in the same direction. That's why this structure is called parallel beta sheet. And if we see this next slide. So similarly, the hydrogen bond is formed in the same pattern, but different thing is the top one goes from N to C, but this one, but the bottom one goes from C to N. So comparing with the first one, this one is always called antiparallel friendship, because the direction of the two chains are in the opposite direction. Okay. So if we look at the structure in PIMO, so let's take a look at the parallel beta sheets. So it looks like this one. You can see the arrow represents the direction of the peptide. So in the parallel structure, these two beta strands are in the same direction. But in the anti-parallel beta sheets, you can see the top one is going from this way, but bottom one is in another way. So this is the anti-parallel beta sheet structure. Okay, now we can move to the section of dihedral angles. Okay.
So we start from looking at this part. So this is the peptide bond. And normally the peptide bond always involves the carboxyl carbon, carboxyl oxygen, the alpha carbon, unmet nitrogen, and unmet hydrogen, as well as the next residues are for carbon. So these six atoms are
involved in the packed pipe bond. And also, I can tell you, naturally, the peptide bond is always a rigid bond, and it is sort of a planar. And these six atoms are sort of stayed in this peptide planar. And the same thing for the second peptide. So now we know the peptide bond is relatively rigid bond, but the bond between the amine nitrogen and alpha carbon, as well as the bond between the alpha carbon and the carboxyl carbon, are flexible, can rotate freely, and the dihedral angles are describing the how these two flexible bonds can rotate in the structure of peptide, which form some particular angles to form the arpeptic structure or the phase shift structure. So let's take a look at the phi angle, which describes the rotation about the bond between N and the alpha carbon. And the phi angle involves the atom of carboxyl carbon, amide nitrogen, and alpha carbon, and second residues, carboxyl carbon. So this is the phi angle, describes how the angle in here. And the psi angle involves the amide nitrogen, alpha carbon, this carboxyl carbon, and the next amide nitrogen. So this is the psi angle. And in the previous slide, for the alpha helix structure, the phi psi angle which are negative 60 and negative 40, which defines the alpha turns in the alpha helix structure. And in the beta sheet structure, the phi psi angle, the average phi psi angle are both negative 120 degrees. So simply speaking, the phi psi angle can describe how these two bonds locate in the structure of protein. And there is a popular plot, which is called the Ramachandran plot, to describe how the combination of phi psi angle could be related to the structure of protein. So on this plot, you can see phi angle, psi angle, and but the point is not all the combination of phi psi angle is allowed naturally. So in this plot, the white region represents the disallowed dihedral angles because of in the combination of this. Of this phi psi angle in the white region can cause the strong steric clash on the structure, which is not always happened in the native structural protein. And this region represents the combination of phi psi angle, which is formed in the arc helix structures. And this is the combination for the beta sheet structures. And there is also a very rare structure, which is called left-handed archaic region. It's not always observed in the protein structure. The beta sheet and archaics are most frequently observed structures in protein structure. So far, do you have any questions? structural peptide chain. So R helix and the weight to structure. So now we talk about the chain of amino acids and how the amino acids can form R helix structure as well as the base sheet structure. And now we can start talking about the global structure of protein. So always protein structure could be divided into four levels. Primary structure, secondary structure, quaternary structure, and quaternary structure and the quaternary structure. So let's start with the primary structure. So simply speaking, the primary structure of protein is meaning the sequence of amino acids. So we can take a look at this one. So this primary structure of protein involves a couple of amino acids. And the sequence of the amino acids is what the primary structure meaning for this protein or this peptide. So we can try to figure out what is the sequence of this strong peptide chain. So like I said, normally we have the N-terminal at left and the C-terminal carboxyl group at right. And from this one, I prefer to starting with find out how many peptide bonds involved in this peptide chain. So if you remember, peptide bond is the bond between NH and CO. So this is the first peptide. So one peptide bond. And this is the second one. Third one. Fourth and fifth. So this structure includes five peptide bonds. Means it has six amino acids. And now we can, you can refer to the list of amino acids to figure out what's the sequence of this structure. So now we know there are six amino acids. And based on each residue, each amino acid site group, site chain group, we can know, we can identify what amino acid it is. So for example, the first one, this is the central carbon, and this is the side chain group of the first amino acid, which is the methyl group. So it is an alanine. The first residue is alanine. And this is the side chain group of the second amino acid. What's this one?
Thank you.
So now we know the sequence of this structure is alanine, leucine, phenylalanine, lysine, glycine, and histidine. So the sequence of amino acids means the primary structure of this blood. So this is the primary structure. So now we can take a look at the secondary structure. We already talked about the arc helix and the base strands or branches which are formed by the hydrogen bond. So actually those structures are the secondary structure of protein. The hydrogen bond formed between the NH and the CO in the backbone chain can form the arc helix structure as well as the base strand or beta beta sheet structure. So these two are very typical types of the secondary structure of protein. Question for this part, right? So this is another way, the Kaikon model, to represent the arc helix and the branches of its strands. So if this parallel and parallel, the loop involved in the beta sheet structure is always called beta turn. So if there is no hydrogen bond formed in this region, it's just a turn connecting these two base strands. This is the secondary structure of protein. Okay, now I have a question for everyone. So I already showed you this is a natural structure of protein. And if we look at into the secondary structure of this protein, we can find out so this is the N-terminal of this protein. So N-terminal and the first base strand, base turn, second base strand, and this is arc helix structure connected with the fourth base strand, beta turn, and the final beta strand. So my question is, why in the natural structure the protein looks like this rather than this one?
Tertiary
structure. But how the tertiary structure is formed in the protein structure? So actually, I want to explain how the protein can fold their different secondary structure together to form the tertiary structure. Because the secondary structure is formed by the hydrogen bond in the backbone chain. But how about the side chain of amino acids?
But if we go back to the arc helix structure, so the dashed line represents the backbone hydrogen bond. Because this structure is created by very simple amino acid, but we can still see outside the arc helix.
This represent the side chain group of each amino acid. Okay. So now we know the side chain group has not evolved into the secondary structure. They are still pointing outside.
And similarly for the beta sheet structure, you can see only the backbone hydrogen bond is involved into the second structure, but the side chain is available to form other interaction with some residues. So that's how the tertiary structure is formed.
through the interaction between the side chain groups. So what kind of interaction could be formed? Like for the ion number lipids, they have positive or negative side chain groups. So they can form electrostatic interactions between positive and negative side chain groups. And as well as for some polar analysis, they can also form hydrogen bonds because there is hydrogen connected with the nitrogen or oxygen. So they can form hydrogen bond between two different polar lipids. And as well, if you remember the structure of cysteine, it has a cell group. So the cell group is easily to form a disulfide bond with another cysteine. So this is another type of the interaction which can form the tertiary structure. So because of those different kinds of interactions between the side chains of resins, the different secondary structure could be connected closely or folded together. So this is the tertiary structure. And this is another example of the tertiary structure of protein. So you can imagine that the side chains of these archaic structures can form some interaction with the side chains of residues in this fixed strand structure like that. So generally speaking, the interaction between the side chain of residues can form the tertiary structure which lets the protein folding together. So this is tertiary structure. And for the quaternary structure, actually not all proteins have quaternary structure, because quaternary structure is describing one protein may contain a couple subunits. And in another way is this protein contains different peptide chains. So for this simple protein structure, it only has one peptide chain. So one peptide chain forms secondary structure, tertiary structure, forms this folded structure. But for the protein, more complicated protein structure, for example, this one, this is the structure of hemoglobin protein. So this protein actually contains four subunits. So the purple represents one unit, and there is another purple unit, and this pink represents a different subunit. So two pink subunits, two purple subunits. So this protein has four subunits in the whole structure, and each subunit could be also called as a domain hole. And so actually what quaternary structure is, so if one protein contains different or same peptide chains, and each chain is one single subunit in the protein structure, and those different subunits form the quaternary structure of this protein whole structure. That makes sense. So actually not all proteins have quaternary structure. Only when the protein has different peptide chains, and that's the quaternary structure. So let me summarize the section of protein structures. So the chemistry of protein is a chain of amino acids. And in human bodies or in all the biological systems, the protein is made up of 20 different amino acids. And those amino acids could be roughly divided into three different types: non-polar amino acids, polar amino acids, as well as aromatable amino acids. The hydrogen bond formed in the backbone chain can create some local structures for the protein, like helix structure, beta sheath structure, and as well as the beta turn. The beta turn is the term connected to different structures. That is the local structure of protein backbone. And the protein structure is classified into four levels. The primary structure is the sequence of amino acids. Second structure is the arc helix, big cheese, or beta turn, and quaternary structure is the interaction between the side chain group of amino acids, which can rearrange the arc helix or big cheese in space. So that is the way to fold different segment structures together. So quaternary structure is seeing when protein has different subunits, and the interaction between the different subunits is the quaternary structure. Okay, so that's all for the protein structure section. If you have some questions, please talk. Thank you.